Please note that the views expressed on this program are those of the individuals who speak them, and not necessarily those of Portsmouth Community Radio, its Board of Trustees, members, volunteers, or underwriters. Good evening, and welcome to Spirit Radio. I am your host, Willie Hassel. Along with my co-host, Lynn Nickerson, we will take you on a journey into the unknown, where the paranormal becomes the normal, a journey to a world cloaked in darkness, where reality becomes a thin veil. So sit back, relax, and join us as we venture into the shadows, the darkness, the unknown, and back. And good evening once again, and welcome to Spirit Radio, the paranormal experience. This is the show where the paranormal becomes the normal. I am Willie Hassel. I am your host, Willie Hassel. I am confused is what I really am. But I am your gatekeeper to the dark side, your guide to the realm of the unknown, the unseen, the unthinkable. And the unconfused one right over here is the lovely, is the mystical, the mysterious Lynn Nickerson.
I'm only unconfused by a few degrees, Willie.
Well, a few degrees is better than no
degrees.
I'm
right behind you. How are you doing tonight?
Well, outside of being confused, I'm doing all right.
Good, but you look about the same.
I look about the same?
Yeah.
I haven't gone downhill since last week.
I can't see inside your head, so I can't tell you.
Oh, you don't want to see inside my head. Believe me.
Is it dusty?
It's not a pretty sight.
Well, have you been time traveling lately? Have you gone through any portals?
I might have. You know, you don't really know. They're one of those things.
Well, I've seen that vacant look, so I think someone's not been home.
Okay. All right.
I'm just teasing you.
I know you are. And hopefully everybody else knows, too. But anyways, you know, I was thinking this afternoon. I mean, just imagine if you went for a walk one afternoon, going down to your favorite downtown coffee shop, let's say, mm-hmm. and it's a walk that you take every day in the late afternoon, you know. So you check your watch. It's 5 p.m. when you leave your apartment for the 20-minute walk down to the coffee shop. Everything seems normal until you take a right onto Main Street. Or, you know, you can just add the name of your local street in here.
Uh-huh.
When suddenly everything gets eerily quiet, suddenly you notice that there are no cars on the street. In fact, the street is cobblestone. Mm. All the stores and the three-story buildings are gone. Now they're replaced by a few older wooden structures. People are walking around all dressed in turn-of-the-century clothes. And, you know, now I guess I would have to specify that, you know, turn of the century, 1900s.
19.
Because, you know, we've gone by.
20th century,
yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
We're getting old, Willie.
let's see, then a horse and buggy rounds the corner and passes by you. Confused, you continue on down the street to Maple Street and take a left turn. As you round the corner, things are back to normal. The street is busy with traffic. The people are running everywhere. You walk into your favorite coffee shop, sit down, look at your watch, and it's only 5:02. It's only 2 minutes since you left home on a 20-minute walk. And what was all that strange stuff in between?
That sounds like a hypothetical situation that would probably fit right into our show tonight.
Well, my, what a coincidence. No, I just randomly picked that one off the shelf, and it fits in just like that.
I think perhaps you were thinking after all. Oh, I'm thinking.
I do it once in a while, you know.
That might be a time slip situation, which fits right in with our theme of time slips, portals, and dimensions.
It does.
It does. Very nicely.
Very nicely, yes. And okay, so.
So have you ever experienced anything like that? Have you ever experienced another epic, another era?
With or without? Were we talking back in the 60s or? Or just normal life.
Whatever you're comfortable talking about, Willie.
No, I haven't.
Actually, I haven't either. But I've read a lot of very interesting stories from credible people that have tripped back in time very naturally, and not being due to drugs or hallucinating. And I was just wondering if that ever happened to you.
No, it has not. And just for the record, it hasn't happened on drugs either. I just want to clear that one up. You know.
There are several theories on what this might be. Now, our guest last week, Paul and Ben Eno, they talked a lot about electromagnetism and how the fields change, and sometimes if there's not only a change in the frequency of the electromagnetic fields, there could be like an interfacing of them, and that might be where you get different dimensions or different eras, time slipping into different eras, or maybe even portals. It's wide open to discussion. This is something that no one seems to have any firm answer on, so we were going to kind of throw out a couple of ideas and theories tonight.
Yeah, we don't claim to be experts in the field. We're just going to have a little discussion. And if anybody has experienced a time slip or, would like to discuss it with us, by all means, the number is 603-430-9722.
Yes, please.
Give us a call.
If you have anything to add to what we're talking about, we would love to hear from you. Most of this information we're drawing on from books that we've read. A lot of it is coming from books by readers of Fate magazine who have written into the magazine, and they've made a collection of these different personal testimonies. And there are a couple that are very interesting that represent what we're talking about. I've got one particular time slip article here. It's taken from True Ghosts 3, and the editor is David Godwin, and the short story is entitled An Unexpected Journey. And this happened in April of 1966, and a couple went looking for some flowers. They were going to go pick flowers, and this was in England, 1966. And it starts with, about a half mile away from our house runs a broad avenue, richly lined with trees and rhododendrons. Oh, dear. Years ago, this was an exclusive residential district where beautiful mansions stood, but now many have been pulled down and separate apartment buildings have gone up in their stead. So my wife and I were walking down the center of the open space toward the flats, which are British for apartments, and about halfway, my wife spotted a large flowering cherry tree, and she went over to collect a few branches. At the same time, we both saw clumps of primroses nearby. My wife turned to the left toward the cherry tree and where I stood. I stopped for a moment and was looking at the flats, and then I looked down to the primroses and back up at the flats again. When I raised my eyes toward the apartment building, it was gone. Everything else seemed perfectly normal. I could see my wife in the distance at the bushes, but the flats simply were not there. Then something else happened. Everything changed. A vast, open nothingness surrounded me, but I had not lost my orientation because the sun was shining and was giving me my bearings. But had I entered another dimension, and would I get out? The exit must be the point of entry, I thought, so I crossed two sticks on the ground to mark my position. Then I walked on to the place where the flat should have been, but there were no flats, no road, no traffic, just a vast open space and no sign of any kind of life. Then I suddenly remembered my wife should be worried about me, so I retraced my steps. I went back to the marker of the cross sticks, and suddenly I saw my wife near me, and I spoke to her. And she jumped, and she said, "Oh, you startled me. Where have you been?" She said, "I called out for you, but I couldn't find you." And then she saw my marker and asked, "What is the witch's cross for?" So everything was back to normal at that point, so it seemed. The apartment building stood where it belonged, and the scrub brushes and the trees were there again. But I found one thing odd. The ground where I had been standing was soft and bare. I could see my footprints going toward the flats, but they suddenly ended as if I had stopped off the ground, it dropped off the ground into midair. And my return path started in the same manner as the outgoing marks suddenly had vanished. So the question remains, had I stepped into the past, the future, or another space dimension? And this was submitted by J.P.J. Chapman in Poole, Dorset, England. So what do you think about that?
I still haven't come up with an answer yet to what the whole thing really is all about.
I don't think there is a real definition, but there are certain properties that seem to be characteristic of these different events, particularly in each category. This couple went looking for flowers, and then suddenly he found himself looking at a completely different environment, but he could still see his wife, and then she seemed to disappear. He turned around and came back to the spot where he thought he entered, and he sees her again. And then suddenly the buildings are back. So it almost seems to me, and tell me what you think, that there might have been a bleed-through of two different planes or two different fields. Maybe they were electromagnetic fields that sort of interfaced, so that, I hate to use the term time periods, but two fields, two separate fields, if there is no time, then two separate fields interfaced, and there was a bleed-through.
Well, now that brings us to a very good question right there. You said there is no time. Does time really exist, do you think?
I think the jury's out on that one. Nobody seems to really know.
Yeah, nobody really has the answer on it.
Evidently, dimensions have something to do with it. It is believed that time exists in our 3D world. In fourth and fifth dimensions, apparently not. And apparently, space travel, if this is possible, and I do believe that it is, may be done in fourth or fifth dimension.
Well, the paranormal idea here, based on the scientific theory that time is not linear, but rather occurs like water in a lake, kind of rippling out at the same point in space.
Yeah, in blending. So, I mean, how do you... blending. Water doesn't really have any form. You know, it just mixes with each other.
Right,
and it's
right.
It's almost like that.
Right. So, does relate again to last week's guest, Paul and Bernino, with the multiple dimensions theory. Do you think that's what we're dealing with here, is different dimensions bleeding through to each other?
Well, it's odd, because sometimes you can have a change in dimension where you don't have a change in time. There isn't time seems to roll along at the same pace, but then you've got other times where, other occurrences, where you're talking about different eras and different periods, known periods of the past, that seem to blend with the future or with the present, or future blending with the present and past blending with the present.
Yeah, an interesting thing, you say time rolls along at the same pace, but actually time doesn't go at the same pace in space that it does.
But we're talking, I think that may be true, but when we're experiencing these time slips, we're in a 3D world because we're here on the Earth.
Right.
But I still think there's the interfaces of these different dimensions.
Well, is it actually a 3D world or a 4D world being...
I don't know.
Up, down, left, right, and time being the fourth dimension.
It could be. I don't know, Willie. It's something to ponder.
And it's a very strange thing to ponder when, you know, how can time be another dimension if it doesn't really even exist? It's, I don't know that you did the whole.
Yeah, that's quite a conundrum, isn't it?
It is. The whole time thing just baffles me, to tell you the honest truth.
That's a good point. You know,
but then again, a lot of things baffle me. So.
Well, that wasn't the only instance. I've read of many instances of time slips. There's also a very famous story about two female school administrators in England, and this was about 1906, as I recall. I do have the whole story at home. They go to France. They go to Paris, specifically Versailles, and they're checking out the history, and they both slip into the 18th century. What happened was, as they're touring the Tuileries and Versailles, they see people clothed in the garb of the 18th century, and they thought that it was all, you know, live enactment. But the maps that they had in their hand were corresponding to the garden features and the buildings that were on the map, and they couldn't quite figure out what was going on. And a peculiar characteristic of this event was the fact that everything seemed to be very quiet. And they both compared notes. They both had the same experiences. They saw the same things. They were walking together. And when they got back home, they came again. They visited again, and they realized that the modern-day Versailles didn't look like what they saw. So one of the teachers starts, one was a teacher and the other one an administrator. She started doing research, found old maps of the gardens, old maps of the roads and the building placements, and found out that what she saw was buildings and places of the 18th century. She also believes that she saw Marie Antoinette. So this is well documented. It's about 20 pages long, and I found it on a Canadian site, a Canadian university, that they had archived it. A very interesting story. So that is another really good occasion of time slips and people experiencing other time periods, just walking into this seemingly other plane of existence that's supposed to be long gone.
Yeah, well, that seems to be the common thread here. Well, for one thing, most of these cases do have, you know, things getting quiet is a...
It seems to be
a theme.
Yep.
And people just kind of feeling just uneasy.
Or feeling sadness.
Sadness, sometimes nauseous. And a lot of people apparently describe kind of a fog comes in as they're about to enter the other...
The atmosphere seems to change somehow.
And I just want to read... we were just saying a couple minutes ago, that, you know, does time really exist? And this is a quote from Albert Einstein.
Oh, what does Albert say?
It says, "People like us who believe in physics know that the distinction between the past, the present, and the future is only a stubbornly persistent illusion."
Ooh. It almost sounds like the illusion has a mind of its own.
Sounds to me like Albert didn't believe in time. That's what it sounds like to me.
And do you?
I'm not so sure I do. I used to, but now that I'm retired,
it's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant. Time used to be just something that would, you know, make my alarm clock go off. I think that's all it really, really did. But now it doesn't really matter anymore. As long as I'm here between 9 and 10 o'clock every Saturday night.
That's the important part,
you know.
One of the other peculiarities that we were going to discuss tonight, too, were portals. And all of these three issues, time slips, portals, and dimensions, are related or interrelated, but they all seem to have some of their own special occurrences and some of their own characteristics. And we were considering portals, and we've heard quite a bit about them. We discussed them regarding in reference to the Skinwalker Ranch on one of our shows, and I believe we have a call. But we also discussed it with Paul and Ben Eno, and there were some of the very same occurrences. Namely, you step into a certain area, and it seems to be a wide open dimension, and either someone disappears or someone comes through it, or someone even levitates like Ben did last week. At least he told us about it last week. So we have a caller. And Willie?
Yes, we do have a caller. Let me pull up the right buttons here, and we have Caroline.
I can't hear you. I don't think your mic is on.
There. Well, it is now.
That's a whole lot
we
better.
We have Caroline on the line.
Hi, Caroline. How are you doing?
Hi, Lynn. I'm doing good.
Good. Glad you called.
I'm sorry?
Glad you called.
You know, well, I've spoken to you before about those people, the school teachers in Versailles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I could be mistaken, I think it was closer to like 1901.
Okay, turn of the century, though, and within those first few years.
Right, and both of them, when they later compared notes, they both said that they had this like depressive feeling come over them at a certain point, and each one was trying to be cheery for the other one, but yet they both felt the same feeling at the same time
depression.
When they were crossing into this time fold or whatever mm-hmm. it was. And they did wander. They noticed things. Like you said, they later realized that they had seen Marie Antoinette.
Yeah.
And there was a gentleman who actually supposedly gave them directions.
That's right.
On how to get back on the path so that they could come out of this thing. So it sounded like it was something that had happened more than once. But as far as I know, I think that's the earliest recorded like time
right.
slip.
Yeah, one that is very well documented. You're right. At least
yeah.
I haven't found anything. I haven't found much any earlier, although I have one other episode for tonight. But very
oh, cool.
few. Very few.
But I couldn't resist to call in for that because I was thinking about that right before you launched into it, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, truly. It's really amazing to consider that it happened that long ago. And they had a really, really striking experience. They could verify so much and then compare it to the past.
Mm-hmm.
There were bridges. There was a little garden bridge that they walked over that no longer existed in the present.
Right, and they said that all of a sudden things looked like flat, like it looked almost like a tapestry. It was unreal
yes.
looking.
Yes, yeah, unreal.
So I thought that was all very interesting, and I have to say, I kind of hope that happens to me one day.
You know, me too. I would like to experience that as long as you can come back.
Take a stroll in history, you know?
So I take it you've never experienced any time slips yourself.
I have never, no. But I would be open to it.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I would too.
It would be interesting. Yeah. Do you have any idea what it might be?
I think of it in my head as like somehow time folding in on itself and overlapping, and you just happen to cross. So I don't know if you want to call it a portal. I don't really know what I would.
Well,
really
I was just
call it.
Going to ask you, do you feel that you've ever stepped through a portal before? And I'm not really talking vortex. I'm thinking more a portal.
Yeah, and I haven't stepped into a portal. I've gone, of course, because I live in Sedona, so
yeah.
there's a lot of vortexes and stuff. But as far as a portal, no, I've never experienced that, to my knowledge. I mean, I may have, but...
Yeah, I think you might have remembered it. But I like your idea about time folding in on itself, because that would make sense to me.
Yeah. Well, it certainly makes as much sense as anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a ripple or something sets something, and it just kind of folds in for that moment.
And maybe it is electromagnetically impulsed.
Yeah. And I also wonder if there have been people who've gone through this. Like right now, Diana Galbadon has the Outlander book.
Oh, those are very good. They are so well done.
Yes, and of course now it's coming out on Stars and all this, but that's how it started. Somebody fell through the Standing Stone
in
Scotland and went from 1946 all the way back to 1743.
Yep, and she felt a vibration when she touched the stone, and the next thing she knew, everything around her had changed.
Right.
So again, vibration, frequency, maybe it's electromagnetic, who knows? But she was transported, and she stayed there for quite a while. And the story eventually evolves that she goes to the United States in the 1700s. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I think she takes a trip.
And actually, she has the eighth book out now, which I have not read yet.
They're long, but they're very interesting.
This saga
yeah.
of these two characters.
She so. Has a good grasp on a lot of the properties of time slips and time travel.
Yeah.
Makes
yeah.
you wonder where she's getting the information, you know what I mean?
I know. I'd love to sit down and have a talk with her.
I know.
Only in Scottsdale, but...
yeah, that's true. She does. She lives near you,
right,
doesn't
right
she?
Right down the street, yeah.
Yeah, well... 2 hours down the street.
Oh, yeah. still, in yeah. Arizona, that's right
better
down the street.
Better than 2,700 miles.
Yeah. Knock on the door. Hello, I'm your favorite fan.
yeah, Sedona is a fascinating place with portals and vortices, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff around here. There is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have yeah, shows worth to talk about on that.
Yes.
Truly.
I've had other people who've said that both of them are passed away now, but out in... Camp Verde.
Mm-hmm.
She said just for like a minute or two, she had looked out in this one section and it was like she was back in the 1800s.
Really?
Like nothing was the way it was. And then after about a minute or two, they were driving and it like snapped out of it and everything was normal again.
Oh, that's neat that you know somebody personally that went through that.
Yeah, but unfortunately she's passed away. Otherwise, I'd say, give her a call.
Yeah, give her a call. I'd certainly interrogate her, that's for sure. Wow, that's an experience. What was her name?
I just wanted to add my two cents into the...
Glad you did. We're glad you called.
We're glad you did. We're always happy to hear from you, Caroline.
And
yes,
I think,
and I'm always happy to listen, so I'm going to go back and listen and hear all your other stories now.
Well, I think you've got an excellent handle on a possible theory.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see what everybody else thinks, too.
Yeah, I hope somebody else calls in.
So many possibilities on what it could be.
There are.
So, but I'll say goodbye to you guys, and I'm going to go back to listening.
All right.
Okay,
thank
Caroline.
You, Caroline.
Well, thank you so much for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. You guys have a great evening.
Okay. Thanks, you
thank
too.
Thank you, you
bye.
Too.
Bye-bye.
And I think we might as well go ahead now and
yeah, we're close to the bottom of the hour.
Break. Yeah, no sense in starting anything else right now. And
when we come back, we can talk about dimensions that aren't necessarily dependent on time or the passage of time. When we get back,
we can talk about
spooky.
Lots of stuff. But Jim, I think it was pretty obvious. What else could I possibly play at the bottom of the hour? Okay, welcome back to Spirit Radio, the paranormal experience on WSCA 106.1 in Portsmouth, West End. And from the community calendar, the Seacoast Repertory Theater. The Seacoast Repertory Theater is dedicated to the presentation of professional theater productions and to the education of the region's young people. Ushers are needed for the main stage and youth productions on evenings and weekends. Volunteers will work with a variety of people, backgrounds, and ages. For further information, call Judy Curry, Marketing Director, at 603-433-4793 or email Judy, that's J-U-D-I, at seacoastrep.org. And Lynn, do you have some upcoming guests for us?
I have the upcoming guest list right here in my hands. On August 2nd, we're welcoming back Chuck Credo and Stephen Matherlees, and they'll be joining us here in the studio for other great discussions on UFOs, aliens who live amongst us, and alien hybridization. On August 9th, Audrey Hewins, who is the founder of Starborn Support, will be joining us with her sister via Skype. And Starborn Support is a group created to assist and provide emotional support to people worldwide who feel they've experienced an extraterrestrial alien abduction or encounter. August 16th, we're pleased to welcome back our good friend Jeremy D'Entremont, who is the founder of Friends of Portsmouth Lighthouses. Jeremy will once again be joining us in the studio with some wonderful tales of haunted houses along the New England coastline. Let me see, on August 23rd, that's another open day where we'll probably have a discussion on some other interesting topic.
Always an interesting topic.
Always interesting. On August 30th, joining us in the studio will be paranormal investigator Shane Sirois. And perhaps, Willie, you'd like to tell us a little bit about Shane and what he's up to?
Well, I do want to mention that on September 20th, Shane is sponsoring the True Paranormal Event 2014, a celebration of advanced understanding in the paranormal field. And that is going to be at the Brookline Event Center in Brookline, New Hampshire, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And our last week's guests, Paul and Matt Eno, are going to be speakers there, along with William Hall.
Who
is one of our future guests.
Yep.
He wrote the new book coming out, The Most Haunted House in America. Is that correct?
Yes, in America. An episode in Connecticut that was very well documented. Police and firemen and everything.
And also, Spirit Radio will be there. We will have a table there, so come on down and say hi to us. And speaking of saying hi, I promised I would say this last week, but I forgot all about it. So I want to say hi to Wes and Gail, who are listening from Brentwood, New Hampshire. I promised last week I would say hi. I forgot.
Oh, all right.
So hopefully they're listening tonight.
Hi, Wes and Gail. We know who you are.
Yes, we do. All right. So have we got all the business out of the way now?
I think so.
Well, you know, we were discussing before about portals and such, and I just wanted to bring up that there are several places on the earth that are said to be especially susceptible to paranormal activity, and one of them is Bold Street in Liverpool, England. It is said to be one of these time vortexes. There are also 12 spots along the oceans that are said to be time portals. These spots are also known as Devil's Corners, the most notorious being the Bermuda Triangle. And an area near Japan known as the Devil's Sea is another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are several triangles like that across the world.
There is. And actually, there's the Bridgewater Triangle,
Bridgewater Triangle in Connecticut. Oh,
Massachusetts.
Is it Massachusetts? Yeah. Okay.
And I wanted to mention that because speaking of Bold Street in Liverpool, and I got this, this is another time slip story, and I got this from the Parascience website of Steve Parsons, who has been a guest here on the show a couple of times, from Wales. And the story is Mr. X used to work in Bold Street in Liverpool. He was walking one day about 10 years ago down Renshaw Street, then turned by rapid into the lane that takes you across the railway line and emerges by the Bureau Bar. Mr. X had worked in Liverpool for a while and knew the shops well, noticing the ones that closed down, such as Collinson's, leaving empty shoe stands and hat stands still in the window. Mr. X carried on walking. He was going to meet his wife in the town that Saturday afternoon, but as he walked onto Bold Street, he noticed that Collinson's appeared to have reopened. as the window was full of shoes and hats, as it had been a while previously. He also noted that catch poles appeared to be on the other side of the street, where it had been some years before, prior to moving to the site across the street. He turned to go down Bold Street and noticed that all the cars appeared to be 10 to 15 years out of date, but all appeared to be new. He then noticed that all the shoppers seemed to be wearing unusual clothes, not dramatically old, but fashions from 10 to 15 years before. He assumed that there was some event on in the city that weekend. The street also seemed unusually quiet. There were sounds, but they appeared quite muted. Mr. X carried on and met his wife outside the bank on Hanover Street. They went in and attended to their business. Everything in the bank seemed normal. But when they emerged, Mr. X was surprised to notice that everything had returned to how he expected it to be. The empty shops were now empty again, and catch poles were back to where it had been in the previous week. Mr. X is unsure if the scene changed back to normal as he and his wife entered the bank or as they emerged. But as the bank appeared to be normal, we assume things changed back as he entered the bank. His wife, who had not been on Bold Street, had not noticed anything different that day. So there's another strange
And Steve
episode.
Has several accounts of things happening in Liverpool of that same nature. It isn't the same individual. It's several different people in Liverpool experienced that.
Right. On his website right now, there are, I believe, are five stories, all from Bold Street in Liverpool.
Yeah, it must be something really peculiar there.
I know. I think, I don't know if I want to go there or stay away from it. I'm not really sure.
I would really love to experience that. There are a couple of factors there. It could very well be granite, since it's near the ocean. Secondly, there's a lot of water, since it's near the ocean. And that always seems to play a part in setting the right set of circumstances for this to take place.
Yeah, those do seem to be a couple
those
of things.
Those are factors.
A couple of factors that seem to play into all of this.
Yeah. Unexplainable. So. Really, really interesting, but I'd love to experience it. There's one other little story I've got here. This would be regarding portals, more or less. And this is a case where... it's, again, taken from True Ghost 3 from the Fate magazine collection. This story is entitled How I Lost My Father. And this farmer walks out in the middle of the field and he disappears. He was never found again. Excuse me. It starts off... Just a moment, please. In the afternoon of September 23rd, 1880, David Lang, a farmer living near Gatlinton, Tennessee, spoke to his wife on the porch, then walked away across the field of 40 acres, and he was fully visible to his wife and to his two young children who were playing near the porch. Meanwhile, a friend of his, a lawyer, and his brother-in-law were driving up in a horse-drawn buggy along the road in front of the house. Peck, who was the lawyer, noticed him crossing the field while still a quarter of a mile away and drew air into his lungs to call out. Lang was in the middle of the field. Lang is the farmer. And in the grass, which had been cropped by the horses, so it was very short. There were no obstructing trees or stones, and he was in full view of three pairs of adult eyes. At that precise moment, as Peck was ready to call out, Lang disappeared with an abruptness that made Peck think the ground had caved in underneath him. They subsequently searched the field, neighbors, his wife, his family, and they found nothing. For weeks afterwards, the search lent no trace of Lang. He was never found again. Now, a strange feature of the case is that the following spring, his two children, George 8 and Emma 11, noticed that in the middle of the field where their father had disappeared was an irregular circle of rank grass, some 15 feet in diameter. And, oddly enough, the horses avoided the grass within the circle, as did grasshoppers, ants, and other insects. One day, on a sudden impulse, his daughter Emma called out to her father. She and George repeatedly called out to him, and in a faint and far-off voice, they heard a man calling for help, a voice that Emma was certain was her father's. She told the experience to her mother, who said she also had heard the voice. However, the fact that it had grown farther and fainter each day had led her to abandon any hope that he would ever have been found. So, it's... How do you explain something like that? You can hear the man calling for help, and no one can find him. And just that one spot in the field, he disappears in front of everybody.
Yeah, and they never found him again, which...
No, they never found him.
Very strange.
It sounds
like, you know, where he disappeared, but then you could hear him for a little while. And then even the voice went away, and he never reappeared again. It sounds like, you know, he didn't just disappear into another time.
Slow disappearance.
Yeah, a slow disappearance. I mean, first a physical disappearance, mm-hmm. and then, you know, the audio disappearance.
You know, that reminds me, Willie, I wanted to bring this up, too. The Twilight Zone series, there was one episode of a little girl who went chasing for her dog under her bed. She and the dog fell into another dimension. This is a Twilight Zone story, but it was very peculiar and very relative, too, to this story here about the farmer. Her parents could hear her yelling, but they couldn't find her. She wasn't in her bedroom. So a friend came over who happened to be a scientist, and he figured out that there was a portal between the headboard, the wall, and underneath the bed. And they wound up, one of the adults fell through, grabbed her, and they brought them back, both the dog and the little girl, back into the bedroom. They pulled her through. But that's exactly what we're talking about. And this was back in like 1960, 1961, when this was on TV, the Twilight Zone series.
Yeah, I know. As we were discussing the other day, a program that I never watched back then.
Shame on you.
I really wasn't wasn't into paranormal back in those days. I wish it was on now. I'd love to watch it now.
You can watch it over the 4th of July holiday. Every year they have it on TV.
Yeah, but the 4th of July has gone by. So unless I time slip into the past or the future.
You can project to the future, Willie, next July 4th.
Yeah, next July 4th.
There's always that option. Do you have something else to read to us?
Well, since you got that one out of the True Ghosts book from Fate Magazine, I have a very short one here, also out of the same, a different edition of the same book.
What is the story about?
Well, this is called A Miniature Time Warp. And this incident happened in March of this year, which was whenever the book was published. I will call it a mini time warp. For lack of any better description, I was driving to work on the freeway from the San Fernando Valley to Los Angeles. It was about 9:30 in the morning, and as soon as I got to the freeway, it was bumper to bumper, moving about 10 miles an hour. As I got into Burbank, still inching along, I caught something on my peripheral vision. I looked over to my right and saw the Metrolink station. There was a police car parked there. At this point, traffic had come to a complete stop. I was looking at the police car and wondering what was going on. I started fiddling with the radio. The next thing I remember, I looked up to see traffic was moving again, and I started moving with it. I looked to my left, and I was 2 miles behind the train station from where I thought I was, coming into Burbank. And I went past the grocery stores on my left and the high-rise buildings and the Medium Center Mall, which is across from the Metrolink. And I thought, if there's a police car at that station,
I'm in trouble.
So I looked to my right, and sure enough, there was a police car there. And so it sounds to me like that was a case.
It was like a hiccup in time.
A hiccup, okay. I like that. It would seem that was a case where he went forward in time rather than back. Which does happen, apparently, but, going back in time is more common. But it's a rather an odd story, too.
Yeah, that is a fascinating little account. I love that Fate magazine. They come up with some of the greatest stories. They're all personal accounts and testimonies of experiences of their readers. And that is the most popular part of the magazine. So they put out 4 books so far on collections of these different accounts.
And so I know somebody that was published in one of them.
Oh.
Should I mention the name, though?
No.
All right.
And there's one other item of interest here. Dimensions. Now, dimensions, time slips, they're all relative. This particular subject has to do with another dimension, another physical dimension, but perhaps the same timeline. There's no change in the passage of time. There's no change in the timeline, but it involves another dimension. And what I'm referring to is a little write-up in a book called Spacecraft Over Earth. This one is written by Dr. Frank Stranges. I mentioned him a couple of weeks ago. He also wrote Stranger at the Pentagon. And this book was jointly written with Valiant Thor, who is a Venusian. He is from the planet Venus. And he is giving... He was technical advisor for this book, talking about his spacecraft that are hovering Earth and monitoring us. And supposedly they are here to help us. So he's giving a description of the Victor-class spacecraft, which is the worker level of the Victor spacecraft that he is in command of. A spacecraft of the Victor class is a 300-foot diameter discus. In 1/100th of a second, the craft can be rendered invisible. When visible, it is tangible and would be recognized as a familiar object. When invisible, to both sight and the entire electromagnetic spectrum, it is also intangible or transparent to any object. And that means people, vehicles, weapons, or aircraft moving through it. So in 1/100th of a second, it can become invisible, and to us, it's not even in this dimension. But there it is, just sitting there. So I'm sure it has something to do with changing its electromagnetic field, changing its frequency, and perhaps it ascends or it bleeds into the fourth or the fifth dimension. But here's a case where it can render itself invisible, intangible, but time is still passing along in the same timeline.
Right, and...
You can shoot at it, and it doesn't affect it. It just goes right through it.
And, I don't know, could you also classify that as molecular dissolution?
Molecular dissolution. I would think so.
It sounds very Star Trek-ish to me.
Well, molecular dissolution has more to do with transportation, teleportation. But who knows?
Well, yeah, who knows? That's why we're here, to ask these questions. Who knows? Who knew?
It's definitely a different frequency, and molecular dissolution would be a change in frequency. So who knows?
Who knows?
Did you have something else to add to that, Willie?
All I was going to say, really, is we have like 2 minutes left.
Oh, dear.
Do you have another quick story, or do you want, to kind of, you know, wrap up with your feelings on what this is all about, you know, and then I'll give my little wrap up. And
I don't know if all three of these events have to be taken on an individual basis. I think there might be, in all cases, a nexus, and it might be a pinpoint in time and space. It might be a plane, and I can't quite explain plane, but that would involve a whole atmosphere, a whole environment, and sometimes a whole environment will bleed into the present one, past or future, or sometimes maybe at this little nexus, there's like a funnel or a tunnel that is formed where there's a passage of physical objects through it. And maybe time is bent, but there's a variety of theories. I don't know if we can't define time, I think it's impossible to come to any definite conclusion.
That is true. What happened? I can't hear you.
That's right. You pulled something out.
Well, actually, I didn't. I don't know what happened. But oh, you're back. I can hear the microphone.
Okay.
There you are. Well, I don't know. Time slips, time warps, time shifts, or dimensional time displacement. You pick your own term. They all refer to the same paranormal oddity. Do they really exist? What are they? When time travel itself is not yet possible, how can these strange occurrences take place? Well, maybe the natural world has the answer that science cannot grasp. I believe that eventually, sooner or later, that time travel will be possible. And maybe time travel is really a simple concept that will someday become a reality. I believe it will eventually, when people far smarter than me will perhaps stumble upon the answer purely by accident. After all, isn't that how a lot of what is known as science initially comes about? When research on another entirely different project uncovers the missing answers we have been seeking for years.
I think time travel does exist.
Well, if time slips exist, then time travel must exist.
It would seem so, and I also think that a different set of laws of physics exist too. We just haven't discovered them yet.
Well, there you go. We just haven't discovered them yet. And like I said, somebody much smarter than me, it's going to have to be the one. And apparently your mic has died again. So
very weird.
Yeah, very weird. So I guess I will just have to say, you've been listening to Spirit Radio, The Paranormal Experience, and we will talk to you again next week.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for listening.